I'd like to talk to you all tonight a little bit about a hardened heart. And it's something that I don't really hear preached about very often. But when we read about it, we see it very early in the Bible, where Pharaoh had a hardened heart. So let's just talk a little bit about it, because the Bible refers to a hardened heart many times, actually. But why? And what is a hardened heart? What does that even mean to you? Can anyone have one? Or just unsaved people, or just certain people? What causes a hardened heart? If you got a hardened heart, there must have been something that caused it. Does God cause a hardened heart? And if he does, why would someone like him, who desires salvation for everyone, cause someone to have a hardened heart? In Exodus chapter 9, verse 12, it refers to God hardening Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh did not listen to Moses' demand for freedom. And anybody that's watched the movies, you know, and seen Charlton Heston and the gang, you've seen what happens. But did God truly harden Pharaoh's heart? First of all, let's take a look at how this has been translated, because sometimes when we go from one language to another, we take what seems to be the closest thing to that, but it may not be the most accurate. In the Hebrew word for hardened that's used here in this text is hazek, H-A-Z-A-Q. And the Hebrew word for heart that's used here is lev, L-E-V. And hazek actually literally means to strengthen. Rather than harden, it means to strengthen. And when used with lev in this type of situation, what it's saying is to strengthen the desire or the will. So when it's talking about hardening of the heart, it's talking about a strengthening of the desire or the will, the desire of will of Pharaoh to do the evil things that he was doing. It is important to start here because we need to bring clarity to what we're really talking about, what's really happening. When you strengthen your heart, it isn't the physical organ that we normally picture when we talk about the heart. It's about your mind and your will, is what they're talking about. God is not forcing someone to have a bad attitude. Don't get me wrong, that's not what I'm talking about. The attitude was already there. Pharaoh already had a bad attitude. And God was recognizing that the attitude was strong in Pharaoh and that the person had no desire to change it. And he's seen that in other people down through the generations. It's one of those be careful what you ask for moments. In essence, what is happening is if you're insisting on going against God and he sees that the desire is to continue in rebellion to God, because he can see your heart and he knows your thoughts, then God will reinforce or strengthen your stubborn will. In Pharaoh's case, the plagues came because of his rebellion to God's will. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. God didn't start the hardening of the heart. It was the choice that Pharaoh made. And he desired his own will, not God's will, but his own. Let me give you kind of a silly analogy, because I'm good with silly analogies. But I heard an analogy one time of a parent catching their child with a cigarette and saying, okay. Anyway, the Pharaoh already had that, and he desired his own will, not God's will. So let me go on with this analogy. So the parent catches a child with a cigarette. So in this analogy, the parent says, okay, I'm going to make you smoke a whole pack of cigarettes to teach you that it isn't good for you. I'm going to stand right here until you go through every one. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that's a good way to handle a child. I don't think that's smart. But the point of the analogy is that God wants you to have a desire to stop your disobedience to him and to recognize what you're doing is destructive to you. Just like that child with that cigarette, what they were doing was going to be destructive to them over the years. And God wants us to stop our destructive behavior. And sometimes he will strengthen our will to make things, allow things to be bad enough to where we want the change, because it isn't fun anymore. Ephesians 4, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And when we get that hardness or that toughness in our heart, we do have a tendency to start to be a little bit blind to stuff. And it's amazing how you can start to slip off to one side and then somebody will point something out to you and go, hey, your attitude seems to be changing. What's going on with you? And we may not even recognize that we're doing that. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Again, we're talking about your mind and your will, because the battle is in your mind. The enemy wants to whisper things in your ear. And after a while, if you're not careful, you allow some of that stuff to start to just go over and over again, and pretty soon you're on like a little spin cycle in your head to where you're not thinking straight anymore, because you're caught up in the junk. I pray that our nation has not become like the people that we're told about in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart in turn, and I would heal them. God is saying if we would just get to the place that we would turn to hear him and see what he's saying, that he would be willing to heal us. But we have gotten to the point to where we accept things that we wouldn't have accepted just a few years ago. I'm not even talking about several generations ago. I'm talking about in my lifetime. I can't believe how things have turned around. And I know I got gray hair, but I'm not quite that old. And for it, that's really changing fast. That's a little bit scary, because in the end times, things will happen much faster, because you won't be able to handle it if it goes according to the way the slowest time it used to be. So things are sped up as mercy to us, because it will get worse. Isaiah was the first prophesied that in Isaiah 6, verse 9. And he was prophesying it to God's people. And that's what Matthew was quoting in 13. And yet I can see where it could be applied to this country. I'm not going to get all political. I'm just saying we have to watch, because we have slid to where we're slowly getting out of our lane and off the road. That's a dangerous place to be. Because when we drifted away from God. I'm not saying this nation was walking perfectly with God 100 years ago. It wasn't. But what I'm saying is, instead of getting closer to God, so much has happened that has drifted it farther from God. And that is a legitimate concern that we all ought to be praying about. In every instance in the Bible, it is not God who initiated the hardness of heart. Check it out as you're reading through the Bible. It is man's disobedience that first takes place. And quite often, it's extended disobedience. You know, it's easy to be critical when you're reading through, like, the Old Testament, for example, and you go from one chapter and one book to the next one, and you go, when are these people ever going to learn? When they're doing good, God blesses them. And then the next thing you know, the next king comes in, something changes, and they go against God. Why would you do that when you were just walking in his blessings? And then to do it again and again and again, you would think they would learn. But you know what? We can't really point our fingers at them, because there's a lot in this world that's happening the exact same way, and in this country. And we really need to check ourselves out. You make your choices, and then your choices make you. If you make bad choices, you're going to go down a bad road. If you make godly choices, you're going to go down a different road that's going to be blessed. Doesn't mean there aren't going to be some potholes on the road, but you will be blessed and God will get you through it. Comes down to our choices. And it's bad enough when individuals are making bad choices, but when you see an entire country that's making bad choices, and I'm not talking about which party's in, because both parties have had a turn at bat. And quite frankly, the game isn't going very well. God is merciful and just. Because of that, he cannot allow sin and rebellion to go unpunished. It's just a matter of when, not if. If you take a look at Israel, his chosen people, and you see how many years he tolerated and put up and gave them opportunities to repent. He gave them prophets, he gave them kings, he gave them different people to help turn them around. And time again, it didn't last long, because as soon as everybody got comfortable and things were going good, they slipped into bad habits again. We choose to stay or reject our sin. We can't blame it on somebody else. We can't say the devil made me do it. We choose it. Unless you've been given over to a reprobate mind, and you have to be pretty bad for God to allow that, you have the opportunity to make choices. And you make a choice to stay in your sin or not to stay in your sin. God expressed very clearly what he desires in Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God desires to do that for us. But do we desire God? We say we do. We sing the songs. Fewer and fewer people are attending church services. But do you mean it? Or are we just kind of going past somebody saying, have a nice day, and you keep moving? And you meant for him to have a nice day, but you just didn't really want, that was enough. For God, that's not enough. He wants us involved. He wants relationship. His desire is for us to be healed. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Some people choose to harden their hearts. They get angry about something because this party's in or that party's in, or because of this group that they joined. Now they're going to get all militant. They're going to do crazy stuff. They allow themselves. They choose it. And some people just kind of drift into it over years. You see parents who, after a while, they've been through so much with their children and then their grandchildren, that just, it's just too much to bear anymore. And they start to drift. But you don't have to stay there. You stay there because you choose to stay there, because that's become your new comfortable place. And that is not of God. A hardened heart should never become a comfortable place for us to stay. There is no justification for having a hardened attitude. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God has been very slow and very patient. This world has deserved a whole lot worse than what's happened, as ugly as it's been at times. But God has been patient, giving opportunity after opportunity for people to repent and change their ways. This country keeps going, getting worse and worse and worse. And again, it has nothing to do, because both parties have been in power. And they both have had an opportunity to swing at the ball. And the truth of the matter is, they become lazy and comfortable. And we're suffering the consequences of that. And we're seeing all these radical things going on that are totally unnecessary and not of God. Because which of these things, when places get burned down and people get murdered and all this kind of stuff happens, which part of that is edifying? Which part of that gives glory to God's name? To avoid a hardened heart, we need to walk carefully. We need to be focused on God, and we need to avoid separation from Him. And that's where fellowship comes in. Because sometimes we don't see when we're starting to drift from God. And when a trusted brother or sister in the Lord walks up to you and says, "Hey, what's going on? I'm hearing things out of you, or I'm seeing things from you that I wouldn't have seen before." That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Because it gives ourselves a chance to do a little gut check and get ourselves realigned so we get back on the road where we belong. We need to constantly and humbly thank Him for our salvation. That is not a little thing. That's about our eternity. It's hard for us to imagine that because we're walking in a fleshly body and we see with limited vision. But one of these days, when these bodies are gone, that we're going to be in the Spirit and we're going to find out just how important that salvation opportunity was. We need to constantly and humbly thank Him for it, because we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. If anything, before we were walking with Him, we were against Him. And yet, as we were still His enemies, He loved us enough. Don't allow sin to set up housekeeping in you. I'll repeat that. Don't allow sin to set up housekeeping in you. Deal with it as soon as you recognize it. If you start looking at something that you shouldn't be looking at on the internet, if you start hanging around with people that are putting negative attitudes in your head, leading you down a wrong road, stop it. As soon as you see what you're doing, stop it. Don't say, "I'll deal with that next week," or "I'll give it a little time and it'll work out." It will not. You have to be intentional. And you have to intentionally say, "I will not allow that in my life. It is not allowed here." If I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and He dwells in me, His Holy Spirit, then how can I allow unholy things there? But we don't think about it that way. It's my choice. I'm not hurting anybody. It was only a little bit of this. It wasn't real deep. And we started watching these kind of movies and these kind of TV shows because it's kind of hard to find any that doesn't have that stuff in there anymore. So you find something that doesn't have a lot in it. God doesn't accept excuses. He will not accept those excuses for any of us. Constantly be in the Word, constantly be in prayer, and constantly be in Christian fellowship. Because it is the Word that's going to change you, and it's the Word that's going to help you when you're making a judgment call about what is right and what is wrong. Should I believe this stuff? And I don't care if it's coming from a pulpit or if it's coming from your best friend. Check out. See what's being said. People can make mistakes. Your prayer life is just like sitting down and talking with your closest friend. When you were dating, you spent as much time sitting there talking with that person as you possibly could. You couldn't wait to get there. Well, there's no one that loves you more than God. How about just spending a little time with Him? Unfortunately, you know, I've seen where people couldn't spend an hour with Him because they got caught up in their books, their conversation, or what was going on the phone, when it was supposed to be an intentional hour of prayer that you were just going to devote and commit to it. I'm not trying to come across religious, and I'm not saying if somebody comes up to you and you're praying and somebody needs to hear Jesus coming out of you, we need to stop and do that. That's not what I'm saying. But can we not honestly commit the time? One of these days you're going to find out it's very important. And the Christian fellowship is what we need to help each other out, because we all have good moments and we all have weak moments. I don't care what your background is, what position you hold, or anything else. We all have good moments and we all have bad moments. We need one another. We need to be Jesus with flesh on to our friends, our family, whoever. Sometimes you don't even know that it's showing. I stopped in the hospital a few days ago to visit a friend that was in the hospital. And when I stopped over to get my little tag to stick on there so I could go up to the room, the lady that was handing out the tags and this other woman were talking. So I waited a minute because it sounded like they were very involved. And the lady said, "Is this a regular tag or you're a pastor?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." And they stopped what they were doing and they said, "Would you pray for us?" I was there to visit somebody else. I did not even know these people. And when I started praying for them, the one lady that was to the right of my view, she just started crying. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she started talking about how her husband had left her and wasn't paying child support and all these other kind of crazy things that were going on in her life. I don't even know her. I hadn't even got her name yet. I'm a total stranger. We need to be able to do that. And if we can do that with a stranger, why can't we do that for one another if we truly love each other as friends? Do we? Have you got to get to what you're doing next so fast that you can't just take a moment and say, "How you doing? What's going on?" And there are times when, yeah, things have us really busy. My last 2 weeks were just crazy busy, so I understand that. But when we're too busy to pray for somebody or to care about somebody, we need to take a look at what's going on. We need to adjust what's important in our life. And as I mentioned before, be diligent to guard your heart. Because what goes in is what comes out. You can't be talking to somebody about the Word of God if the Word of God isn't in you. And if all you got is what this station is saying or that station is saying while they're talking nasty about whoever they're against, it's that kind of stuff that's going to come out of you. So we need to be careful what's going on in here. And there are times when I've had to walk away from a conversation because the other person just wasn't going to be reasonable and I wasn't going to put up with the stuff. And when they realized that, they were willing to talk to me a little bit later, but then they were willing to listen. You know, the most important part in a conversation isn't what you're speaking, it's what the person is hearing. If a person can't hear, it doesn't matter what you're saying. We all have the potential to have a hardened heart, every single one of us. I don't care if you've been saved for 60 years or you're just coming in and trying to make a decision for Christ tonight. We all have the potential for a hardened heart because of things that have happened to us that weren't fair. And we've all had stuff that's happened to us that wasn't fair. or just, or something that's happened to somebody that you really love that really hurt you, or whatever else that it is. There are things that can cause us to have a hardened heart. If you spend too much time watching the news, I don't care which channel, you'll get a hardened heart, simply because you're getting all that garbage in you. Not the love of Christ. We need to fill ourselves with that. We have a loving God who has mercies that are available new every morning. I said they're available. That means they're there, but are we taking advantage of them? Or are we ignoring them? Are you just starting your day out and you got a bad morning and you're frustrated and you just walk out the door and take your attitude with you? Or do you take a moment and say, Lord, I need you? Before anything else happens this day, I need more of you. And if it's a bad day, I need a whole lot more of you. Because I want to do what's right before your eyes and not fail you. Choose this day whom you will serve, because blessings or consequences will be your response. There's not a third choice. The choice that you make, if you follow the Lord, is blessings. If you do not, there will be consequences. It's not if, it's when, and what they will look like. To quote Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we need to be determined to do that. And some days we can wake up and be on fire for the Lord. And some days we open our eyes and we just want to close them again. Because what we're going to have to face that day isn't going to be very good. But whether it's going really good or really bad, you need to choose to serve the Lord. We need to honor him, praise his name, and worship him. And we need to honor one another and show each other respect. Doesn't mean we always have to agree on every single thing. Doesn't mean we're always even going to like each other for a moment. But we don't have to stay in that moment. Because there's something that's more important than that thing that we're disagreeing about. And that's the love of Jesus Christ that we're supposed to have for one another. Amen? Father God, I pray that the word that I shared about the hardening of the heart, that it is taken to the heart, and that it's chewed on, and that it's thought about. Lord, help us not to have a hardened heart. Help us to truly be able to be sensitive to your spirit, to your love, to the things that you have for us, Lord. Help us to respond and not be lazy, but to actually respond and do those things that you tell us to do. Sometimes we go, yay, I'm willing to do that. And Lord, sometimes we go, I'm uncomfortable with that. But Lord, I've never seen a time where when I was obedient to you, instead of making my own choice, where it didn't work out better. So forgive us for where we fall short, Lord. And help us so that each of those times will become less frequent. And what will become frequent in our life is our obedience to you, our worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.